We're going to continue in Genesis. We're going to be talking today about sin, the fall. Whose fault is it when we sin? Ours. That's an honest answer. What makes us sin? Temptation. Yep. Do we have to sin? Boy, you guys are right on top of it. We're going to look at the fall today, and there's a lot of controversial theology on this subject. I've been reading it all week, and it just about makes my eyes cross to read the arguments. And God help me to stay on track. I was praying that earlier, you know, let me stay on track with this text, because it's so easy for me to get sidetracked, especially about something I believe in so passionately. Our text this morning will be from Genesis 3, the whole chapter, actually, 1 through 24. Now the serpent was more crafty than any other beast of the field that the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, "Did God actually say you shall not eat of any tree in the garden?" And the woman said to the serpent, "We may eat of the fruit of the trees in the garden, but God said, you shall not eat of the fruit of the tree that is in the midst of the garden, neither shall you touch it, lest you die." But the serpent said to the woman, "You will not surely die, for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was to be desired to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. And she also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves loincloths. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man and said to him, "Where are you?" And he said, "I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself." And he said, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten of the tree of which I commanded you not to eat?" The man said, "The woman whom you gave to be with me, she gave me fruit of the tree, and I ate." Then the Lord God said to the woman, "What is this that you have done?" The woman said, "The serpent deceived me, and I ate." The Lord God said to the serpent, "Because you have done this, cursed are you above all livestock and above all beasts of the field. On your belly you shall go, and dust you shall eat all the days of your life. I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel." To the woman he said, "I will surely multiply your pain in childbearing. In pain you shall bring forth children. Your desire shall be for your husband, and he shall rule over you." And to Adam he said, "Because you have listened to the voice of your wife, and have eaten of the tree which I commanded you, you shall not eat of it. Cursed is the ground because of you. In pain you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you, and you shall eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your face you shall eat bread, till you return to the ground. For out of it you were taken, for you are dust, and to dust you shall return." The man called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all living. And the Lord God made for Adam and for his wife garments of skins and covered them. Then the Lord God said, "Behold, the man has become like one of us, knowing good and evil. Now lest he reach out his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever." Therefore the Lord God sent him out from the Garden of Eden to work the ground from which he was taken. He drove out the man, and at the east of the Garden of Eden he placed a cherubim and a flaming sword, and turned every way to guard the way to the tree of life. Father, I thank you for your word, which is truth, and that it never comes back to you empty, but accomplishes what you send it out to do. Open our eyes to this truth today, Lord, that we may better learn how to withstand temptation and not to sin against you. I pray if there's anyone here today who does not know you, that this might be a day of salvation. I pray also if there's anyone here today who once knew you and is now backslidden and got away from you, that this will be a day of reconciliation. I know this is your good pleasure and will, and I ask that your will be done in Jesus' name. Amen. As I said, I've been reading the scholars all week, and it's a eye twister. It's the only way I can say it. I mean, these guys dig deep, and I learned a lot of useful things this week, and Lord help me to stay on track. I'm going to talk today about the fall, and it's right there in front of us, and it's pretty simple what happened. Last week we talked about how God created the earth. He created the animals and the birds and the fish, and man was the last of his creation. And after the man had named the animals, God said there wasn't a fit helper for him. So he took a rib out of the man and made the woman and brought her to the man, and the first marriage ceremony was performed. And they became one flesh. And there was a law. God said, do not eat off the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, because the day you eat it, you'll die. Now, that's a law. So early in our history, in the history of mankind, we've had law. And the definition of sin in the Hebrew and the Greek is to transgress a known law. It is to willfully disobey a known law. And that's why Paul said in Romans that before the law was, sin was not imputed. In other words, he said even people that sinned not the same way Adam did, death reigned from Adam to Moses. Because sin is the transgression of God's law. But the difference with Adam here is he transgressed against a known law. He could not claim ignorance. And in the Levitical priesthood, one could sin ignorantly. And when it came to your attention, then you were responsible and you had to offer sacrifices. But this is not a sin of ignorance. We read in verses 1 through 5 that Satan, the name Satan in Hebrew means adversary. He's also called the deceiver. He came to them, and the first thing, and I want you young people especially to get a hold of this, you baby Christians and our youth, Satan will always use doubt to start his temptations. He said to Eve, and I don't think Adam and Eve were way across the garden. I think they were right there looking at that tree. They were talking about it. And the serpent said, did God really say you couldn't eat off of any tree? And Eve answered and said, well, no. He said we could eat off of every tree, but not that one. She said, we're not even allowed to touch it or we'll die. So she answers the question correctly. But Satan doesn't leave it there. Remember, when he tempted our Lord in the wilderness, he used doubt. He said, if you are the Son of God. Now, why would he say if? The demons cried out and said, we know who you are, the Son of God. Well, Satan's a liar. Satan knew who Jesus was, but he was trying to get Jesus to doubt who he was and why he was here. So he said, if you are the Son of God, do these great signs. Turn this rock into bread. Jump off the pinnacle of the temple. Let's see if God's angels will catch you. And the Lord was able to combat this temptation with the Word and with His will. He set His will not to go against the Word of God. Now remember, as I said, man and woman had one law. Do not eat off of that tree. The only law that was in paradise on this earth, don't eat off the tree. So what Satan had to do was to trick them into eating off that tree, thereby breaking God's law, and they would become sinners. You notice when Satan was tempting Eve, he said, he didn't say, disobey God and see if you die. That'd have been easy. If he just said, well, why don't you just go ahead and disobey God? I think the red flag would have come up, and they said, well, no, we can't do that, or we shouldn't do that. But what's he do? He contradicts the word of God. You won't die. Don't you know that you're immortal? Now remember, God had created them with a human body and with the spirit. And I think Satan's argument was, how could you die? You can't die. You see, God knows if you eat this fruit, you're going to have a better quality of life. And he doesn't want you to have that. Sin will always promise things it cannot deliver. Satan took a positive commandment, do not eat off of that tree, and he made it negative. God's unfair. When I was teaching youth in the Nazarene church, we were talking about the Ten Commandments, and all the young people agreed they're good commandments, you know, when you read them. But what do we do with them? But, I know the Bible says, but, we try to justify what we want to do. And Satan, if he'd have come to Adam and Eve and said, I am here to wreck you, I'm here to kill you, I'm here to cut off your fellowship from the living God, they'd have said, get out of here. But he didn't do that. They're already looking at the tree, they're already thinking about why God has this rule that we can't eat off of that tree. They're curious. God made us that way. And Satan takes that very moment to step in and start the temptation. And people today, he has not changed his M.O. When you know the difference between good and evil, right and wrong, the minute you start playing with those thoughts, sin always begins as a thought. The minute you start playing with that, that's when the tempter's going to come in and say, well, is that really what the Bible means? I've heard it said so many times by other Christians, well, I know the Bible says, but... Every time they put that but in there, I know I'm getting ready to hear something that's going to go against the Word. They've got a plan. They want to do something against the Word. And so they use that but to say, you know, isn't there a little leeway here? Maybe the relativism today says, well, you consider wrong isn't wrong for me, so therefore you can't judge me. You know, don't put judgment on me, man. If it's right for me, it's okay. If it's wrong to you, that's okay, but you can't judge me for doing what I think's right. There was one law. Don't eat off that tree. Very simple. God said, don't eat off of it or you will die. I take that as a positive command. God gave them that command because he did not want them to die. And I've been asked, well, why did he put the tree there? Because the knowledge was already here. Consider this. We gauge evil by what is good. C.S. Lewis said that. In order to have evil, you have to have good. If all man knew was evil and didn't know any good, then evil would be normal. And we truly would not know what good is. But remember, when God looked at his creation, it said it was very good, including the man and the woman. They were good. But God knows that good can be twisted and become evil. So he made the man and the woman, and I believe he gave them a free will to choose. And because evil is there, the potential for evil is good gone wrong. Okay? Good gone wrong. God cannot be tempted with evil, neither will he tempt anyone with evil, but he knows what evil is. But God is sinless. He's perfect, and he won't even entertain the thought of him doing anything evil. And he put the man and the woman there, and he said, now look, there's evil. Here's knowledge of evil. But if you eat off that tree, you're gonna have to sacrifice your life. And here comes the tempter saying, God's just pulling your chain, man. You're not going to die. How could you die? God made you. You're perfect. How can you die? He said, I'll tell you what God's doing. He's holding back on you because he wants you to be beneath him. But he said, if God knows, if you eat this fruit, you'll be just like God. The King James says, the older King James says, like gods. And the translators and the commentaries I read this week said, that's not a good translation. The word is singular. And they said, anyway, what would Adam and Eve, what kind of concept would they have of gods, plural? They only knew one God. The God who created them. The God that came in the garden and walked and talked with them. They were not aware there were any other gods. So they said that's an erroneous translation of the Hebrew, that it correctly reads, you'll be just like God. And they said it's the same word that says, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. Satan said, you'll be just like your creator. Now this is something I believe. God has set parameters on the wisdom that you and I can attain to. God has set parameters on the wisdom that the angels can attain to. Not because he's selfish, but because he's God. I think one of the joys of the kingdom of heaven will be that we will forever be in the presence of God, and it'll be inexhaustible. The revelations that we will get through eternity will be new and fresh, and we still won't know everything about him because God reserves the right to withhold wisdom. I don't think we could take it if he just gave it all to us. And when God put the man and woman there, they were intelligent. It says, Adam, name the animals. He didn't grunt and make scratches on the wall and then 10,000 years later said, hey, I can talk. He was a highly intelligent being. So was he. They were made in God's image. They were as wise as God wanted them to be. And I believe God was saying, look, the knowledge of good and evil, you don't need that right now. You can't handle it. And Satan said, God's just doing that because he doesn't want you to be like him. He's holding back from you. He doesn't want you to have fun. I was talking to the young people, and I said, you know, the commandment, you shall not commit adultery. I said, go to the cemetery, and it's full of people that didn't listen to that command. And a jealous wife or husband shot them, or knifed them, or run them over with a car, and they're in the grave. So I said, you see, when God gives us law, it's not so we can't have fun. That's what the world makes you think. That's exactly what, oh, you can't go by that. You know, that's just old Puritan thinking. We're free. We can do whatever we want. I listened to a doctor on a radio talk show, and he was on a panel when AIDS really started breaking out in this country, out on the West Coast, and they did a study. And he said, we went to the gay bars and the bathhouses and every place, everywhere they congregated, and he said they hadn't slowed down a bit. They were still engaged in their sexual activities when we had proven that that's how it was transmitted. And these doctors come back and said, what they're saying to us is, we're going to do what we want, you find a cure. And that doctor I listened to said, I am all for giving up AIDS research and let's go back to cancer because at least we were making some headway. He said, if these people just want to keep contaminating one another, there's nothing we can do to stop it. And he was right. He said, what I hear out of these people is we have a right to infect and kill. And he said, the ACLU got on their side and agreed with them. And they said, you can't do that, doc. The doctors said quarantine. When AIDS first started in this country, they said, we need to immediately quarantine these people like you do with tuberculosis. And the ACLU stepped in and said, that's a violation of their civil rights. That's how the world thinks. Hey, we're going to sin and do what we want to do. You just find a cure. I've heard that Anheuser-Busch Company gives thousands of dollars a year to Mothers Against Drunk Driving, yet they still make the product that's responsible for 30,000 deaths a year on the road. I think that kind of tries to ease their conscience a little bit. Well, we give money to to help people with alcohol problems, but you also make the alcohol. You're the cause of the problem. Okay, I'll get back where I was. Satan told Adam and Eve, God's holding that on you. He knows that when you eat this fruit, you'll be just like him, and he doesn't want that. Now, Eve looked at the tree, and it wasn't noxious. It was not poison. It was attractive to look at. It was desirable for food. It didn't look dangerous. And it was desired to make one wise. What transpired in Eve's mind? Maybe God is holding out. Why should I have to wait for God to tell me, to teach me, when it's right there at my fingertips? Everything I want to know is right there in that fruit. And after all, I'll be just like God. And I can see the tempter stand there just grinning and say, do it. As I said, if he said, well, why don't you just disobey God and eat the fruit? I think he would have said, no, disobey, that doesn't sound right. But what's he say? Hey, you're not going to get in any trouble for that. Sin promises you everything. What did he promise them? A better quality of life. Eat that fruit, you'll have a better quality of life. You won't be ignorant like you are now. Don't you want to know? Don't you want to know the truth? Well, God's holding the truth back from you because he doesn't want you to know. Here, smoke this, shoot this, eat this, drink this, wear these kind of clothes. That'll bring you fulfillment. Marry that woman or marry that man, and you'll be happy for the rest of your life. We look for fulfillment in things that will never satisfy. And when I say we, I mean the human race. We try to put things in there that one theologian said, there's a void in every person born. There's this void, and only Jesus Christ can fill it. But how often do we try to put other things there? And think, if I can just have this, I'll be happy. You ever do that? Boy, if I could just have this car. And you go in, hock up to your ears, and you're making these big payments. And after the new wear off, you're not happy anymore. Now I've got these stupid car payments to make. This thing drinks gas, man. It's costing me money. But who, I look good in it. Or we marry the person that we think is going to be the person of our dreams, and one morning, ladies, you wake up and Prince Charming become a frog again. And you look at him and say, what happened? Same thing with the men. We think, if I could just have her, oh, I'd be so fulfilled. And 2 years, 3 years after the honeymoon's over, we begin to say, oh, man, what was I thinking? Doesn't mean you don't love them. But all of a sudden you realize they're not filling that void. You still have an emptiness. You can talk to some people that are very wealthy, and a lot of times you can see that emptiness in them. You can hear it. This couple had everything God intended them to have, and Satan says, you can have better than this. He encourages them to be independent. See, Adam and Eve were to be dependent upon God for their wisdom. And Satan says, be independent. Be your own man. Be your own woman. You don't need God telling you what to do. And he said, you're going to have this good life, fulfilled life. So it said, Eve looked at the tree, and it was good for food. It was desirable to make one wise. It didn't look poisonous. So she take and ate. There was two sins she committed right there. Can anybody name them? Huh? Okay. Lust of the eyes, pride of life. Those are the things that the allegory to that is. What was the first thing she did when she ate the fruit? She willfully broke a known law. She disobeyed. What was the second sin? Idolatry. All sin stems from the idolatry that's in the human heart. I'm God. You see, Eve, at that moment of choice, she willfully disobeyed a law of God. He didn't explain himself. He doesn't have to. He just said, don't eat off that tree or you die. God's simple like that. I read that in the law when God gave the Jews the law, and he said, behold, I lay before you today blessing and cursing, life and death. You choose life. That's why I believe we're free will. God said, you choose life. Because they're both there. You can live in either reality that you choose, and I want you to choose life. And Eve at that moment said, I'll be God. I'll be just like God. And she committed the sin of disobedience and idolatry in one fell swoop. When she reached out and took that fruit, she pronounced herself God. And said she gave some to her husband who was with her. And I still can't to this day figure out why Adam didn't say something. Why didn't he say, woman, put the fruit down. We're not going to eat off of that. Serpent, get out of the garden. He had authority over all the animals. He could have said, get out of here. You can't be in here anymore. And that would have been the end of it. But God said, you listen to the voice of your wife. He loved her. Man, he loved her. He didn't want to be different. And I think she took a bite of the fruit. She didn't drop dead. And Adam said, well, okay, I'll try it. When did the transgression take effect? When Adam ate. Eve took a bite, nothing happened. It's when Adam took a bite. All of a sudden, they knew good and evil. What was their first response? Shame. That's what sin will always do for you, young people. Sin will promise you such pleasures. Young men and young women giving their bodies to one another before marriage. And they think this is going to fulfill me and make me happy, and this is going to prove my love. The girl thinks, I'll prove to you that I love you. I'm going to give you my body, and then you'll love me. And when it's over, shame. Guilt. Because she knows that she broke faith with God. And the young man knows that he broke faith with God. He knows he did something wrong because of the guilt. Shame, guilt, confusion. They heard God walking in the garden and said they hid. The first time in their lives, they couldn't face God. Then when God confronts them, you know, Adam, God said, where are you at? And Adam said, well, I was naked and I hid. So he kind of gave things away. God knew what they did anyway. And God asked him a very direct, straightforward question. Man to man. I mean, in that sense, man to man. Adam, did you eat off that fruit? He did what all sinners do. He played the blame game. Not my fault. That woman you gave me over there, she gave me the fruit and I ate it. I'm surprised God didn't just go upside his head and say, well, dummy, you didn't have to eat it. My mom used to say, well, if all your friends jump off a bridge, are you going to jump off a bridge? That's the feminine side of God. You know, I'm surprised God didn't say, well, if the dog was eating it, would you have ate it? He said, the woman you gave me. So God, for a moment, takes his attention off Adam. He said, what happened, Eve? She said, the serpent tricked me. You know, according to Paul, she didn't lie. Paul said the woman was deceived. That's why Paul said in the church, women were not to have positions of leadership, pastoral leadership. Well, I know that makes some of you offended. Just I didn't say it. He did. He said, I was tricked. He looked at the serpent and he started there. Jesus said it's impossible but that temptations will come, but woe to the one whom they come by. It would be better for him that he had a millstone hung around his neck and were drowned in the depths of the sea. So God dealt with the tempter first. And he cursed him. Then he went to the woman and he said, your pain will be greatly increased in childbearing, and your desire will be for your husband, and he'll rule over you. The Hebrew says your desire will be for his position. Here's another thing of sin, strife and contention. I'm going to be in charge. No, I'm going to be in charge. I think I'll be in charge. No, I'm going to be in charge. God settled it. He said, you'll want your husband's position of authority, but you can't have it. Oh, I know that makes some of you ladies so mad you could just spit. But I didn't say it. God did. And he's got his, amen, he's got his reasons. And you know what? He doesn't have to explain himself to us. He doesn't have to. God doesn't have to explain anything. He said, Adam, because you listen to the voice of your wife, cursed is the ground. Now remember, when he made Adam and Eve, he put them in the garden to work the ground. Work's God's idea, by the way. Some people think that's a four-letter word. It's a dirty word. It is a four-letter word, but it's not a dirty word. Well, we got a lot of people today who think it is. Won't break a sweat. Sit back and draw that government check. And then whine and cry about how the government's doing. Well, they're paying for your food, buddy. You better not whine too much. But now the work is doubled. The pain's doubled. It was pleasurable at first to work in the garden, because I think everything man put his hand to in the garden, God blessed. I mean, when he farmed, I believe the crops came in 100-fold. God said, now there's the curse of sin, and you are going to labor and sweat with painful toil till the day you go back to the ground. Sin never delivers what it promises. It promises us pleasure and we get pain. Yeah. It promises us notoriety and we get shame. I still cannot believe that Adam, especially this intelligent human being, the Son of God, could actually trade everything he had for that promise. And it was empty. There was no fulfillment in it. Satan didn't deliver on one promise. Death, pain, sorrow, shame, confusion. People will ask still, I've heard people say, if God's so righteous and holy, why is there so much wrong with the world? There's your answer. God gave man everything he needed. He gave him one law. Don't eat off that tree. Don't transgress this commandment. And they did. And we have been guilty as human beings of idolatry ever since then. Anything you put above God is an idol, including yourself. Well, I would talk to my neighbor about Jesus, but you know. What? Well, I know the Bible says that's sin, but here's what I think. That's idolatry. I'm going to do what I want to do. I know what the Bible says, but after all, it's just a book written by men. It never ceases to amaze me. And I've talked to a lot of people over the years I've been, especially been a minister. They believe the part of the Bible about salvation, but not this part. Are you a Christian? Oh, yes, I'm a Christian. Because the Bible says, whosoever believeth shall be saved. I believe it. So I'm saved. Well, it says over here, you shall not. Well, that's written by men. Amazing. So you get to pick and choose which part of the Scripture is actually Scripture and which part is actually the doctrine of men. Here's my viewpoint. It's either all the Word of God or none of it's the Word of God. Yeah. That's the way I feel about it. Either that Bible is God's holy word or it's not. There's no middle ground. When you choose the middle, guess who you're listening to? The God of this world. And he's whispering in your ear, did God really say? Well, that he may have said, but that's not what he means, is it? It would be so easy if Satan would come to us face to face and say, hi, I'm the devil. I'm here to kill, steal, and destroy. I'm going to ruin your testimony, wreck your life. your marriage everything I can. And we say, man, get out of here in the name of Jesus. You get away from me. But he doesn't do that. He slips in there and says, now, here's the deal. Here's the deal I got for you. What a deal. Oh, what a deal. And in the end, it's empty and it's dead. No fulfillment. I looked for peace and everything that was illegal, immoral, and fattening, and I didn't find it. I didn't find peace until I released the control of my life to Jesus Christ. Now I know peace. I know what it means to love. Would you stand with me this morning? Next week, we're going to talk about Cain and Abel. The week after that, we're going to talk about Noah. Then we're going to talk about Abraham. We're going to go through the book of Genesis, basically, in these next few weeks. And we're going to look at the lives of the Old Testament saints. There are good points and they're bad. If you're here this morning and you've never called out on the name of the Lord, the Bible says, whosoever shall call on Him shall be saved. Jesus said, anyone that comes to me, I won't drive him away. He's not going to look at you and say, you're just too dirty, you're too nasty, you've done too many bad things. He's willing to accept and forgive you, but it's on His terms. You have to come to Him and admit, I am a sinner. I deserve eternal death, but I'm asking for mercy. If you've never done that, would you do that as we sing our song of invitation? Or if you are an immersed believer in Christ and you wish to join this local body, would you come forward and do that as we sing our song of invitation this morning?